Alrighty, hello everybody. We are here for lesson two of Latin Layman's with Liam. So, got a nice alliteration along with learning some Latin. So, we'll go ahead and dive into it. I realize, having listened to my prior episode, that things are a little rough around the edges. So, I just hope that you guys bear with me as I learn a little bit more about this podcasting business and how I can really fine-tune everything, you know, so that I can make it enjoyable. I'm probably going to be investing in a mic soon, but I won't ramble on too much about it. I hope that the value and the content is better, or is what keeps you reeled in. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into lesson two. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be diving into subjects and direct objects. Okay, so now that we've fleshed out nouns and adjectives, let's dive into them a little bit more in-depthly as to how they function within a sentence, okay? So subjects are always nouns. And we went over nouns in our prior episode. If you did not listen to that, I definitely recommend that you go back, get an idea. If you don't know what a noun is, I give you tangible tests in order to delineate what is a noun, what is an adjective, and what is a verb, even though I didn't really go into what a verb is. Anyways, they are always nouns. The nouns or nouns in the sentence which do not, or rather do the action represented by the main verb. So, for example, I teach, I is the subject of the sentence, right? Whereas teach is the verb, because I is doing the action of teaching. Throughout this presentation, today we'll color our subjects purple in our head, okay? So whenever I give us a sentence to think about, let's go ahead and highlight those subjects in a nice purple hue. And since the world is your oyster, and or you are the master of your own universe, according to my calculus teacher back in high school, go ahead and pick any type of purple that you want. Anyways, let's look at the sentence, you will learn. So you is the subject and the verb is learn, the time when the action takes place. In this case, at some point in the future, right, doesn't matter. You is still the subject of the sentence, okay? So even though this sentence is happening in the future, you is still being represented as you and will always be you. So again, let's go ahead, look at we studied. We is the doer of study, right? Who's doing the studying? We are, right? First person plural. Because we are still the actors who perform the action of studying, even though it happened long ago, right? So now I'm looking at this in a tense of past, you know? So even though that the action happened in the past, we still did it, okay? So the subject can also be a noun, which is said not to be doing the action of the verb, if the verb is modified by a negator like not, never, or in no way, if that makes any sense. So we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. So in other words, subjects can also be the non-doers of the action or the verb action if the point of the sentence is to say, if the point of the sentence, there we go, Liam. You gotta bear with me. I also have a little bit of a lisp, so, you know, doing all the speaking and whatnot. What? Just challenging myself in all facets right now. Hope y'all are proud. Anyways, the verb action, if the point of the verb is to say the outright, is to say outright that the subject didn't do something, as in she cannot forget. Okay, so she is the subject of forget, even when she isn't actually forgetting, because she can't. Well, according to the sentence, but so if she is a non-doer grammatically, she still is the doer, right? The subject. So I'm just trying to give you a bunch of different examples for you to kind of understand exactly all different avenues and angles from this perspective of subjects. So how about as plural, subjects can also be compound. For instance, you and I are happy. You and I is a compound subject where two singulars have been put together and they add up to be a plural, right? So for instance, truth and justice will prevail. Truth and justice is another example of two singulars operating collectively to make a plural subject, right? And, you know, with any subject or with any sentence, rather, there is always a rule of a subject verb agreement in terms of singularity or plurality. Whew, all right. So yeah, I don't wanna have to say that again, but they will either agree with that subject, the subject agreeing with that verb, essentially. So in either singular or plural. Go ahead, move on from that. That was a little bit of a digression. So as we noted, the time frame of the sentence actions doesn't matter in determining the subject, okay? The time is completely contingent on the verb. The time frame involves only the verb, okay? But the same is not true, however, for all types of verbs. Only main verbs can have subject, right? So, however, another standalone verb, verb forms don't, right? So, for instance, those endings in ing, which also usually are participles, don't have subjects for this presentation, and our immediate purposes here, i.e. to determine the subject of the sentence, let's just ignore all the verb forms ending in ing. Ing forms, like I said, are participles. Participles are basically adjectival verbs, and those are something that we don't really, really get into in Latin, probably halfway through the course. So you won't have to worry about that as much. All you got to think about is participles equal ing, aka running, talking, speaking, all that stuff. Now that we know what a subject is, let's address how to identify in this sentence, okay? So let's start with this sentence, love will conquer all. The verb here is conquer. As the verb, in a full sentence, it has to be the main verb. If you want to determine the subject, ask yourself who or what will conquer all, right? So the answer to that question is the subject of the sentence. What's the answer? What will conquer all? Well, according to this sentence, love is going to conquer all. So love is the subject of the sentence. So another example, let's look at nobody doesn't like money, which is a lie. Or if you know anyone who doesn't, tell them to send me theirs. I hate to see people suffer, so. Yeah. The answer to that question is the subject. Who doesn't like money? And who is it? Is it money or is it nobody? Nobody. So nobody is the subject of the sentence, right? Later on, we will figure out, as I move further into this lesson, that money is our direct object, right? So how about one more example? But who doesn't want both? Questions are sentences too, so they have subjects just like any sentence. What's the subject here? Ask yourself, who doesn't want both? Who? Right? That's right. Who is the subject? Kind of tricky here. Question words like who also can be subjects like any, noun, or pronoun. In fact, they are often, right? A lot of the time when we have a question, we have a typical question word that indicates that it is a question, right? So, who, where, which, when, why, how, you know, all those indicate that I'm asking a question to somebody, a direct question. So, moving on, we're going to go ahead, take all of that newfound knowledge of our subjects, sock it away, put it into our head, maybe write it down, put it under our pillow, let it absorb when we fall asleep tonight. I don't know. Do your superstitious thing. All good. We're going to move on to direct objects, though, now. So, a direct object is any noun which receives the action of a verb. For instance, I see you. I is the subject, right? So, see is the verb, and you is the direct object because you is the object of seeing in the sentence, right? So, we got to think about these. We kind of pull, and now we're trying to pull apart sentences, and we're looking at everything kind of segmentally. I like to call it fleshing out a sentence, really. We're just pulling it apart, and we're parsing it, we're delineating what is what, and at the end of the day, we're going to understand that direct objects are on the receiving end of the subject, which is I in the sentence, right? So I see you, I am seeing you, you are being seen by me. That is basically the passive way of saying, I see you. Anyways, here's another example. You make lots of money. What's the verb here? Make. Who's doing the making? You. So that's the subject, and the thing or things that are being made by you are what? Lots of money. Lots of money. In this case, really, the direct object is going to be lots, and then money is going to be basically showing possession on lots. But we're going to get into that more and more and more, and I'm going to pull all of that apart, especially when we start into our lesson for the first declension, which will be a lot of fun. So I'll just go ahead and give it a little brief background. Of you might recall is, well, it's typically a preposition, and it's an object of a preposition of money. So of money is a prepositional phrase. If of money is an object of this preposition, it can't also be a direct object. So just wanted to throw that out there, right? So we got lots. It's going to be our direct object here. So you make lots of money. You are making lots. And then money is just basically identifying what that lot is. So how about our next example? Who can blame me for loving you? Who is the subject here? Who is the subject here? Lots of who's. Blame is the verb, so what's the direct object? Who is receiving the action of the verb in this respect? I am. Right? Me. That's the direct object. So far, so good. Let's watch it. This sentence has another verb, loving. Remember, I talked about it briefly before. It has its own direct object right here, which is you. You is receiving the action of loving. This is the first time we've seen this ing verb form. In an example, and just as we noted above, loving, like many ing forms, doesn't take on the subject, though. As is aptly evident here, it can have a direct object, though. First, let's finish talking about the direct objects, though, before we dive into that. Please note, just like subjects, a direct object can be plural or compound. That is, there can be more than one, for example. So we'll have fun and good times together. What will we have? Fun and good times. Already. Especially what we're going to have. Lots of those coming the summer of 2021 after all this COVID stuff and quarantine and masks. And if you all are listening to this 20 years from now, if this is still around 20 years from now, yeah, we just got done with the whole COVID-19 deal. Or at least, presumably. Those are two direct objects attached to the same verb, have. Okay? So, fun and good times. Those are two direct objects attached to the same verb. I just wanted to reiterate that since I kind of went into a different little thing there without much of a pause. There can be 3 or 20, but having too many is usually frowned upon. Okay, so about direct objects, there are two other important things worth noting. First, not all verbs have direct objects. Because of their meaning, some verbs, like the verb to be, don't ever take on a direct object. The verb to be actually is known as a linking verb. It links a nominative predicate to a nominative subject. That's all gobbledygook for now, but we'll get into that more once I break down Latin. Because we're going to start seeing forms of nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, and ablative in Latin. Don't really see that in English. In fact, anybody in English or that has taken a grammar class has no idea what those mean. They're just $10 words for indicating the subject, the direct object, prepositional phrase, all that good stuff. Anyways, I'm going on a lot of grammatical soapboxes today, so I'll rein it in. I also did have some coffee just a little bit ago. It was cold brew. Got me a little wired. Bringing it back. Okay. So, like I said, they all don't have direct objects. They being verbs. So if you think about it, there is by definition no action built into being. Or to be, rather. No activity can be directed at an object. To be is really the linguistic equivalent to an equal sign in mathematics. That's what I like to really represent, right? Because, let's say, if you break it down, it's I am, you are, he, she, it is, we are, y'all are, and they are. So those are all of the forms broken down in all of its persons and numbers. Persons being first, second, and third person. Numbers being second and... Or numbers being singular and plural, rather. Okay? So what they do is they link two things, right? So let's have a little regular sentence here before I dive into it a little bit more deep. How about, let's say, Liam is a teacher. So Liam is a teacher. I am a teacher. So another way to say Liam is a teacher, Liam equals being a teacher, is you could just say the teacher Liam. In this case, teacher would almost be like an adjective of me, right? Kind of delineating what I am, who I am. You know, kind of pulling off of our knowledge from the last lesson. So let's go ahead. So like I said, it's kind of like the equivalent of an equal sign in mathematics, which is a static symbol, right? I also like math a lot, like a lot of things. So this, in essence, is very different from a plus sign or a minus sign or even a times sign, right? You know, all those represent actions that change things. They make numbers greater or smaller. But an equal sign, like the verb to be, doesn't change anything, right? So for all those mathematical people, I hope I broke that down into a kind of a pragmatic and objective scientific way. Mathematical way, not scientific. In fact, you know, the verb to be, it only says this is this. So in that process, this doesn't change, right? So verbs like to be don't take direct objects. So I just want to throw that out there, because that's something that I really have to drive deep into students as we go further and further into Latin, because we're represented with regular transient verbs, and then, you know, they take on direct objects, and then we're given things like, you know, the verb to be, which doesn't take a direct object, and then students start to kind of intermingle both, and then they start to kind of lump them all together, where in essence they're two very different things. And I like to think of the verb to be as a special verb, all right? Kind of stands alone, it conjugates differently than from regular verbs, all of that good stuff. So besides that, some verbs which can show action and can take direct objects sometimes don't, depending on the context of the sentence. So the upshot in this is, while all main verbs have these subjects, there's no type of verb that always has a direct object. So, yeah, I guess that's an upshot. Even verbs that can take a direct object don't always have to have one. While you should be constantly on the lookout for direct objects after verbs, don't expect you'll always find one, okay? So, second direct objects and subjects act in opposite ways in another respect, while ing and two verb forms most often don't have subjects expressed. Both of those verb forms can and frequently do take direct objects. Think about it. Neither do nor to do have a subject, but you can say doing work or to do work, right? So in both cases, work is the recipient of the action inherent in the verb. Do, so it's the direct object. And now that you know what a direct object is, here's how to identify one in a sentence. So let's go through a few examples, and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. So, for instance, love will conquer all. Love, we determined, is the subject. Conquer is the verb. So, what or whom will love conquer? All, obviously, meaning everyone. So, all is the direct object in this case. Pretty straightforward. How about a similar sentence? But everybody needs money. The subject is everybody. The verb is needs. And what does everybody need? Money. Remember, refer your friends that don't want their money to me. Have them send it to my address. I'll link that to anybody that wants to know. But only if you're going to send me money. Okay. So, money must then be the direct object. And who doesn't want both? Subject is who. That's not a question. The word who is the subject, right? The verb is want. And even though the sentence doesn't, or the sentence rather says doesn't want, it's still the verb, negative or not. So what doesn't everybody want? Both. Thus, both is direct object. You got it? Cool beans. Now that you know the basic grammar of the subjects and direct objects, let's practice identifying them in sentences, beginning with our favorite piece of ancient propaganda. According to your favorite classicist and grammarian, the ancient Romans conquered the Mediterranean world. What's the verb here? Conquered. That's right. What are the two nouns in the sentence? Romans. Plural, and world, it's an it. What about ancient and Mediterranean hour? What parts of speech are a little bit of a review, but they are adjectives, of course. But since adjectives are just modifiers, not things, and thus can't be subject to direct objects, nouns are the only parts of speech that can function in that way, right? Adjectives simply don't matter in terms of what what we're discussing here. So henceforth, we're going to leave them out of this equation here. Okay? Okay. Cool beans. Cool beans. Alrighty. The only way adjectives can be evenly, remotely relevant to our purposes here is that identifying them eliminates some words in a sentence from consideration as subjects or direct objects. And if that helps you, do it. But I'm going to stick to identifying only verbs and nouns as we proceed at the until the end of the sentence, right? So, who's the doer of the action here? Subject, right? The Romans. And who and what or whom did the Romans conquer? The answer to that question is the correct object. The Romans conquered the world. And that concludes our presentation today. I want to thank you again for coming along this journey for me for our second lesson. In fact, as I kind of evaluate what I want to do for the next podcast for tomorrow, I think we might have tackled all of the English grammar that I want to before we actually dive into some actual Latin. So get ready, buckle up, pull your asses to the chair, get strapped in, and we'll start some Latin grammar tentatively, but probably tomorrow. So thank you again. This is Liam with Latin and Layman's, and I appreciate you all tremendously. Love y'all, even though I don't know anybody, but I love to love. And I will talk to y'all next.